A lot of drop balls, as you mentioned, down the stretch. The Giants did have a chance, but those moments were key. Do you think that the rotation and the change in the casting characters that has been so frequent played into that at all?
Yeah, you know, especially you can think about that on defense, because I know the offense, they've kind of been in this position the whole time. Another different set of offensive linemen starting this week with Wheeler being out. He was active, but he was out. They didn't let him play. Bobby Hart being there. And on the defensive side of the ball, you got all new linebackers. You got all new everybody in there. You're trying to blitz. You're trying to do all this stuff. It's hard to get guys.
All right, well, we've got more reaction and analysis as Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz starts right now.
A look at live MetLife Central, and we welcome you to another edition of Giants Postgame Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Giants. The Dallas Cowboys defeat the Giants 30-10 as they break this game open in the fourth quarter. It was a 10-10 game, and then the Giants, which they have all season long, gave up three pass plays of over 30 yards in this game. They've given up 27 of those and 9 touchdowns so far this season. The big plays once again come back to bite the Giants, and this team that has to play mistake-free football on the offensive side of the ball did not do it. A couple of big drops in this game at the end of the third quarter by Sterling Shepard on a third down, and then Roger Lewis early in the fourth quarter in a tie game, and wasted opportunities in plus territory for the Giants. We're going to hear from interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo throughout the course of the program. We'll hear from Giants quarterback Eli Manning. I want to welcome in my co-host for this frigid edition of Giants Post Game Live, Sean O'Hara, Antrell Roll, and Amani Toomer. So, look, the Giants were playing this game the way they needed to play the game, guys. They had to play it tight to the vest. They had to play it conservative. They had to not threaten down the field because of protection issues and everything else. Mission accomplished, but then the fatal flaws showed up again.
Yeah, you mentioned the drops. Those were huge. And I talked to Mike Sullivan right before the game, and he just said, look, I don't care how many times we throw the ball. We're going to be physical. We're going to run the ball. And that plan worked. You mentioned the drops, the mistakes. At some point, somebody had to make a big play. They needed somebody to break a tackle or to make a big catch. And offensively, we've seen it all year long. They just haven't been able to make those big plays. And defensively, they did it again. I mean, right? They hung tough, but in the fourth quarter, those big plays, once Landon Collins went out, were huge.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Offensively, we haven't been capturing enough big plays, and defensively, we've been giving up way too many big plays. When you look at this game, there are 6 plays that determine the outcome of this game. Like you say, Sean, they fought extremely hard for 3.5 quarters, and to give it up at the end like that, you know, it's just not good football. You have to find a way to capture those moments. You have to find a way to eliminate the big plays, especially when you're playing consistently, play in and play out.
Exactly, and I think what you said earlier, Sean, the plan was good. They had a good opportunity. They were running the power play. I like the fact that when they were running that power play, they were running it until the Cowboys stopped them, making them adjust their defense, and that's an aggressive style of offense that I kind of like. But when it comes down to it, you have to make catches. You have to get the ball into the playmaker's hands. But what we're missing right now with the Giants is that playmaker that can turn this game around. What turned the game around for the Cowboys was their big playmaker and Dez Bryant with that 60-yard touchdown right before half. That's what we were missing, and that spark really burned until the end of the game. But there was an opportunity there for the Giants to win this game and to compete with the lack of talent that they have. You got to give it up to the coaching staff.
Yeah, according to ESPN's NFL matchup show, the Giants lead the NFL in drop passes percentage, meaning the amount of passes thrown, the amount of drops. And to me, Amani, this game, the Giants lost control of this game late in the third quarter when Sterling Shepard at the plus 40 drops a pass. Now, I'm not blaming these guys for the loss, but margin of error is really small. Tie game, you're driving. You can probably use out the end of the third quarter and have the ball to start the fourth. They have to punt it. Bailey misses a 50-yard field goal. And then going the other way, Roger Lewis drops a pass again at the plus 40 on a third down. There was a flag on the play. They picked the flag up. Look, the guy launched. He hit him in the neck. You can't do that, and you can't launch. We all know it probably should have been a penalty. He'll get fined. But they still dropped the pass. And that's they can't do that if they want to win these games.
Absolutely not. And that's why you need experienced receivers out there. Those are the plays that you have to find a way to make that play happen. You can't take your eye off the ball early and let it bounce up and juggle it a little bit. You have to firmly control that ball because that – you know, that changes the momentum. You're going, you're trying to get back that 7 points that your defense just let up. And if you drop balls and hurt yourself, it's really hard to do. And those drop balls end up being exactly like turnovers. If you drop a ball on third down, it's you might as well have an interception because you're giving the ball up. You're losing possession, and that drive stops.
Angelo, I want to ask you this question because Carl Banks talked about it on the radio side, giving up these big plays, right? Their front gets no pressure on the quarterback. Olivier Vernon and Jason Pierre-Paul are doing nothing as far as getting to the quarterback. I know the Cowboys' offensive line is good, but this is even against bad offensive lines. So now they go with this high-risk, you know, zero-coverage corner safety blitzes, and now they're getting exposed the other end. Should they have just kept it conservative and, hey, if we're going to give up the third down, let's just keep it to 5 yards and then play for another set of downs because you're leaving yourself exposed?
Well, you know, there's no interior pressure. There's no out pressure coming outside from the defensive ends. You have to gamble. You have to dial up some blitzes, especially when you have a mobile quarterback like Dak Prescott. Because otherwise, you're making the corners and the safeties cover for 5-6 yards. I mean, six seconds, and that's way too long.
The only thing I would ask you, though, is you're at 10-10 in the fourth quarter. So that has worked without a lot of the high risk.
I agree. But at the same token, Your guys in the back end, you're going to have some zero pressures. You're going to have to cover. You have to study film, know that Bailey, he runs the option route. That's what he's going to run. But Dallas knew that they were in the pressure. They saw that. He knew that he had Landon Collins on him, throw the quick pass, and trying to make him miss in the open space. You have to understand, you have to make that tackle. You have to be proactive, especially when playing a guy like Bailey.
To your point, Bob, Landon Collins has struggled in that area this year. We saw him
right
against Cameron Brate in Tampa Bay Buccaneers earlier this year. I saw Cole Beasley turn Josh Norman around a couple weeks ago. I mean, Josh Norman's arguably one of the best corners
in
the league.
He's one of the quicker guys.
So when you get
league,
a safety on Cole Beasley like that, to your point, it's a mismatch, but guys got to make plays.
But what it was Cole Beasley was on Collins because the guy over Collins blitzed. So that was the hot route. And the thing about it is, that's the adjustment that the Dallas Cowboys made. You notice towards the end of the game, you saw the Dallas Cowboys spread out the defense and look for the blitzes to come because they knew they were coming because there's no other pressure.
Right.
So that's the adjustment that they make. You can stop it. Stops it early, but you're not going to be able to fool that team for the entire game.
And you got a lot of cash tied up in those defensive ends to not be getting to the quarterback. After the game, Paul Dottino had a chance to catch up with Dalvin Tomlinson.
Second half, and then they kind of made some big plays and got to you. It's got to be tough.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Just have to go out and play 64 minutes.
How difficult was Morris? Everybody knows that he's in there for Ezekiel Elliott, but he had 100 last week against Washington, too.
Yeah, he's a great running back. That's why he's in the league. And we just have to – just one of those backs you have to make sure you execute the game plan against him just like Zeke.
How difficult is it to deal with this offensive line? They've got such a reputation over the last few years.
They got a good offensive line. We just come out here just like any other week and just play football.
And how about your progress? You continue to play well individually. I know the record isn't where you want it to be.
Yeah, just keep improving so I can help the team just keep working.
All right, so that's Dalvin Tomlinson here joining us on the program. When we come back, we're going to hear from interim head coach Steve Spagnuolo. We're just getting started here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Networks. Hey, Giants fans, for a chance to win a GoPro Hero 6 Premium Bundle, go to Adorama.com/Giants. Adorama, the official electronics retailer of the New York Giants. Coach Spagnuolo coming up next here on Giants Post Game Live on the MSG Networks. Yeah, even the return of Eli Manning can't change the Giants' fortunes as the Giants lose to the Cowboys here at MetLife Stadium 30-10. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz, So interim head coaches now since 1990 have a record of 14-25, 39 games. Steve Spagnuolo loses his debut as interim head coach just a short time ago. He had a chance to address the media.
I'd obviously disappointed in the outcome of the game. The only real injury I have to report is you saw Landon. I don't really know exactly what it is. I know it was an ankle. I haven't had a chance to talk with him. We'll find out about that tomorrow. I would just say this before I open it up. I'm really proud of the men in that locker room. I told them that after all we went through this week. I thought the way we came out and the way we played for 3.5 quarters was something we could be proud of. We do have to figure out a way in the fourth quarter when it gets down to gut-wrenching time to make a play or two. Now, I'm going to put a little bit of that on me. I didn't like a couple of calls I had in the fourth quarter that resulted in bad plays for us defensively. I don't want that to be on the players. But I just talked about going forward, if they could continue to do what we did this week in the middle of some adversity. I thought the adversity revealed a lot of good things in our football team. And I do believe that unity strengthens. And I saw unity and, in essence, saw a stronger football team in my mind. I would hope that they would continue to do that going forward and then just focus on the next game. So that was the message. Now, those are the injuries, and with that, I'll open it up. I did. Yeah, nothing changed there, and I'd like to credit the defensive coaches because it was a little bit different. The difference was that when the offense was out there and I was on the line with them just listening and trying to be ready to manage the game, the defensive coaches handled all the adjustments over there with just me chiming in and out. But I thought for the most part that part went pretty smooth. You know, this is what happens to me. I'm not a real bright guy. And so in the course of the game, like plays, and it's all kind of mixed right now together, but I know there was one interception there, I'm sure, but it got bopped around and all. But I like the way you operate. I tell you, the way I thought Mike Sullivan and his staff did a good job coming out with a really good game plan. We moved the ball real well. I mean, if my recollection is correct, they drove pretty good the first drive, kicked a field goal. We got it and answered with our own long drive and kicked a field goal. That got us right back into a 0-0 game, so to speak. So I was proud of him in that regard. And I know there were times during the game where he got us into some really good plays because I'm listening and I'm listening to Sully, and that's what he does. He does that real well for us.
How do you think Rhett Ellison responded to increased?
Yeah, I mean, without watching the tape, I certainly can't evaluate as a blind. I saw him make a couple of catches in there. I know we kept him in the game a little bit for certain reasons, certain plays, and he looked like he played solid to me. I remember one early Jordan. Yeah, I recall the one in the first half, I believe, because I heard the reaction. But to me, it felt like it was going to be a field position game, which it really was, right into the fourth quarter. And when you kind of get that feeling, I wanted to stick with the field position game, back them up. Our defense was pretty good at that time. So I thought it was the right decision. I don't recall the other one, Jordan, to be honest with you, but maybe I can comment on that, you know, in the next couple of days. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of things. I probably need to better. I got over anxious on one of them. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's how I feel. Now, what you got to know about me is when the play doesn't go right, I always think that there could have been a better call. That's just how I am. Now, having said that, we know that whatever the call is, guys got to try to make a play in it. But you know, there was one I would like to have back. The other ones we had, you know, there were a couple of things we didn't do quite right, and it resulted in a bad finish for us. But I mean, I'll dissect it, go through it with the players. We can be better, and we can look at that. Those plays shouldn't happen. Certainly not that long. We got to get them on the ground, and I'm sure the guys feel bad about not tackling in certain situations.
Will Eli start again next week?
Say it again. I'm not going to. I don't know. I'm not going to comment on that right now. That would be my gut feeling. But you know, I mean, I thought. Look, without looking at it and evaluating, but Eli Manning is a quarterback right now until something crazy happens. Yeah. It doesn't feel good right now because we lost the football game, and so your mind goes back to all the things you could have, should have, and would have done. That's what happens when you lose. But I didn't feel uncomfortable. I thought everybody else around me coaches, players, trainers responded really well. And to me, that's what I'm grateful for. I mean, I thought the guys on the sideline that operate in an NFL football game did what they were supposed to. Everybody did their job, and for the most part, I thought we did it pretty good.
We went out there to check on Landon Collins after he got hurt in the season. Like, what was your message
to him? Well, I just wanted to find out what was wrong with him. By then, he had popped up, and I thought he was going to be okay, but obviously, he said, listen, Landon, he never complains about injury. He's been banged up all year. I mean, little things, you know, but you never hear him complaining. So when he's down, you know, I feel like, you know, it was something serious. That's why I went over there. But it was good to see him get up, and we'll see where he is tomorrow.
I guess that second fourth down, it was 4th and 8. They're 46.
You're
down 7.
4, 40. One possession game. Now I recall. Because it was set, we talked about it going into the third down. When it ended up 4th and 7 and not 4th and 3 or 4th and 2, that was why we made that decision. One possession game. Yeah, Eli. I talked with Eli. We deactivated him today. You know, the decision there was because he just didn't get enough reps during the week. I talked with him early. He's going to be ready to go next week, and hopefully we're up and running.
So what do you say if he'll play next
week? That's the hope. That's the hope.
What are you saying from some of these newer guys, Dixon and Morris,
that you said there? Yeah, I tell you what, Brandon Dixon, to me, has played really good football. Now, he's going to feel bad about the one play at the end of the half. But he's battling out there. You know, we got him late. Both those guys. He didn't go through any OTAs, didn't go any through any training camp. And yet they've really been pros about everything. And they compete. And you can't ask for much more than that.
Okay, thank you.
So that was Steve Spagnuolo, the interim head coach. Frank and open about what he feels. And let's start with the quarterback. He mentioned that unless something crazy happens, he doesn't see any reason why Eli Manning would come out. And I thought Manning's game was a lot better than his final numbers are going to show. I mean, he threw the Hail Mary basically at the end of the game, just throwing one up, seeing if you're down by 20 at that point. And then a tip ball to a guy that you just signed this week. But he put a lot of balls on the money that were dropped, and understanding everything that was going on, he looked like he was in a pretty good flow.
Yeah, kudos to Spags, you know, just kind of seeing him up there. I think a lot of people, you see Spags talk, you see the transparency, you see the honesty. That's what the players love about him. And I think we saw them respond to him. About Eli, Eli does so many things behind the scenes. I thought he also, in addition to the stuff at the line of scrimmage, the big play to Evan Engram, he saw the blitz coming. He audibled. He checked the route to him. That's what Eli does. He'll get you out of the bad place too. But I thought Eli also threw the ball on the move. Look, DeMarcus Lawrence coming into this game leads the NFL in sacks. You thought he was going to be the guy that wrecks the game. Bobby Hart comes, you know, back from the dead. And then now he's starting to right tackle with Chad Wheeler out. So you're saying, all right, how do they not let DeMarcus Lawrence wreck the game? And they didn't. But I thought Eli evaded him a couple times. He made a nice throw on the run. Made a couple of nice throws. The touchdown throw was good location, good accuracy. Just not enough going on around him.
Well, you know, to speak on the points of Spags, I think every player, especially a defensive player, you're always going to accept and appreciate a coach taking acknowledgments of it. It should have been a better play call, so forth and what have you. But he also said something very important. No matter what he dials up, the players still have to play that call. And a lot of times we saw the coverage where Beasley beat Landon Collins, zero blitz. Shepherd beat for the long touchdown, zero blitz. And what we're taught as defenders is always on zero pressure, play the guy inside out because there is no help in the middle of the field. That's how you have to play him. Otherwise, you will see big plays as you just saw one today.
Yeah, I used to love it when I see zero blitz because I know that if you make one man miss, you could go run a long way. And looking at this game, I felt like the Giants did exactly what they possibly could have done. I mean, they just threw everything at them. They had a reverse. They were throwing screens. They had these diamond formations. They tried everything they could. But at the end of the day, the cream rises to the top, and the Giants' cream is on IR right now, 20 of them. 20 of our best players are the Giants are on IR. So I think that this is kind of – I think it's kind of the best we could afford right now. And I like the fact that the team fought. They definitely showed a lot of effort. They just don't have the talent out there right now to withstand some of these drops and some of these misplays. They have to play perfect football, just like you said, Bob.
Yeah, if they're not perfect, they're going to have a chance.
Yeah, I thought defensively coming into this game, I think a lot of us were saying, all right, based on what the Dallas Cowboys did in their previous game against Washington, they just ran the ball, ran the ball, ran the ball. And coming into this game, and exactly the way that they beat the Cowboys twice last year was they stopped the run.
Yes.
They didn't let Ezekiel Elliott beat them. They really didn't let the run game beat them today. It was the big plays that in the fourth quarter that ended up, you know, being their undoing. But I thought for as physical as Dallas had gotten just in the last couple of weeks, the defense really responded. And I credit the coaches, the players. Obviously, you mentioned not getting the quarterback was the big key, because when they beat Dak Prescott in week 14 last year, they got after him. They had three sacks, two interceptions, and the pressure was the key.
Speaking of the defense, we're going to hear from Jason Pierre-Paul, still to come on the program. We're going to hear from Eli Manning. All guests of Giants Post Game Live will receive a gift certificate to Ben & Jack's Steakhouse, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. JPP coming up next here on Giants Post Game Live on the MSG Networks. Sun setting on a Sunday at East Rutherford, New Jersey, MetLife Central, as we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Giants not able to get any sacks in this ball game. After the game, Jason Pierre-Paul spoke at his locker.
Yep, slipped away. Like always, you know, but it is what it is, you know. On to the next game.
Jason, what do you think happened in that fourth day? They scored three touchdowns in about 441, but you played so well until that point.
I don't know. I got to go back and watch the film, man. You know, I'm out there, you know, rushing. At that point, I don't know what's going on, so I just got to go back and look at the film. I'm pretty sure the coaches will get it right.
Did it feel any different today with Spags running the show? And
it felt great, man. It felt great. Guys came up, rallied together. You know the situation that we're in. We knew that they had to come and get this win. You know, keep the game going for the run going for the playoffs, and we just couldn't execute and finish right. I think all together we came out and, you know, Spags actually did his thing, man. You know. The score don't show for it, but he actually did his thing.
So positive reviews from the players. The end result, though, is still the same as the Giants fall to 2-11. And JPP injured his damaged hand last week, so he was playing with that club on it. And, man, it's got to be hard playing with that.
Well, it's so hard for his game. So much of JPP's game is using those long arms. We used to call him go-go gadget arms. He could lock you out. When you're playing with a club and you can't grab anything, you can't. The push-pull is ineffective, and that's really what JPP does such a great job of, controlling those tackles and shedding them. He's so strong. So, you know, kudos to him for playing through all that. You know, I know a lot of guys are playing through stuff this far in the season, but for JPP, it was tough sledding, I'm sure.
Antrell, I mean, can they do anything schematically to try to get past us? I mean, I think they're trying, and when they do, they're getting burned by doing it.
Well, I think you just answered that question. You just answered that question right there. For coaches, you know, which way do you go? You play conservative, and you know, it's fine, but you have to get pressure on the quarterback. You have to dial up something, and more importantly, the guys in the back end have to be able to cover the slot receivers and sometimes the outer receivers. And I think the corners have been doing a great job of battling. I think it's just understanding the circumstances and knowing, you know, what position you're in. For example, with Brandon Dixon, great coverage. Just get the guy down. You know, he's an aggressive player. He plays great. Just get the guy down. You know, you want to go into the half at 10-10.
I would like to see Brandon Dixon after training camp, full integration into this system, comfortable. Because right now, this guy's come off the street, and he's playing as aggressively as possible. And you got to love his desire, because, you know, he's going up against Dez Bryant. Imagine being on the street, and then 2 weeks later, you're in a big game on national TV against Dez Bryant, and he's not backing down. There's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about the mentality that it takes somebody to overcome all that most of us would be worrying about.
Now we just need Trell to go down there and hand over bring the turnover chain down there.
Yeah, we do need turnover chain. That's right.
You know, early in the game, that blitz by Landon Collins, you know, he batted the ball, and he saw it kind of go up, and it was kind of like the microcosm of the Giants' season, right? Yeah. The ball's up there, and it's like, hey, this is a great opportunity for a turnover.
Or a third
they,
down stop.
They catch it, and they get a first down. It leaves you scratching your head.
All right, listen, we got a lot more to come here on the program. We're going to hear from Wayne Gallman, who was productive in his role today. Plus, we're going to hear from Giants quarterback Eli Manning. All that much, much more as we continue with Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks. We welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Cowboys beat the Giants 30-10. They break this game open in the fourth quarter. Wayne Gallman, an active role in this game, both running and receiving. After the game, he had a chance to speak with Madelyn Burke.
All right, Wayne Gallman, today was the first game with Steve Spagnuolo as the interim head coach. Did you notice a difference with a defensive guy in charge today?
I didn't. You know, we're just focused on doing our job right now. You know, I think a lot of that stuff is irrelevant because, you know, whoever's in there, you know, it's good coaching.
And doing your job, you got a lot of run today out there. What were you seeing that was giving you those opportunities so far?
Trusting the hole and just, you know, having that want to make a play. And really just trying to, you know, motivate the offense with my play, motivate the team. So,
have you seen your personal growth since week one against the Cowboys versus today?
I have. You know, I ain't played against the Cowboys first game. I was inactive. And, you know, just from that point on, you know, I've always been ready. But it's a coach thing, you know. It's a waiting process that, you know, I had to go through. So
tough loss. But what does it mean that they kind of trusted you with the rock today?
You know, that's up to the coaches. Hopefully, more things come, you know, later on. But, you know, I'm gonna keep doing my thing.
All right. Thanks so much, Wayne Gallman.
All right, Wayne Gallman, 59 yards rushing. He averaged 4.9 a carry. Had a 13-yard run in there, and then. 7 receptions for 40 yards. He was targeted 9 times. A lot of that by scheme because of the way the Giants couldn't go down the field with the O-line issues and then the wide receivers that they have. But I thought Gallman showed some toughness in the game today.
I like his burst. You know, he's got a really good acceleration. You know, I mean, he's just going to keep getting better. But, you know, when you look at him, you don't think of, man, he's this big, powerful running back. But he still finds a way to get those dirty yards. He always seems to be falling forward. Certainly a lot to look forward to. The hands are a nice addition. It's nice to have a running back that can go out there and catch the football and make some plays.
Yeah, guys, I mean, they went over 100 yards as a team, 29 carries for 102, 3.5. They had that ill-timed call with the reverse to Shepard that lost 9. Yeah. That counted as a run. But Antrell and Amani, I mean, they have to run the ball better than they did today, really, to give themselves an opportunity.
Well, you know, they have to do a lot of things better, but obviously running the ball is going to help Eli and the rest of the offense out. It's going to give him, you know, another option, another way out. And right now, they're just finding a hard time to keep that run game constant right now. And obviously, you know, it gives defense a little bit more time to rest up on the sideline and not having so many three and out. So I think the more you mix it up, the more you dink and dunk and find those holes. And, you know, it don't have to be a home run every time. Just 5-6 yards, just to have the defender guessing what's coming next. And, you know, we'll see what happens next.
Yeah, you're right about that. You got to keep them guessing. And also, you got to shorten the game. I mean, if you're going to play a close-to-the-vest, you know, field position game, you want to keep your defense fresh, just like you said, Antrell, but you want to make sure that offense is going to have that pressure of the fact that there's going to be a time constraint on how long they're going to be on the field because you're going to be taking up the majority of the time. That's why it's so important to stay on schedule, not get any third and long situations, and to keep the defense honest to know that you could either throw or pass in any situation because you're not pressured to pass at any time because of the down and distance.
Yeah, the Giants actually led in time of possession. I think maybe 3 times all year they've done that. So the run game is working. I think we've got to give a little credit. I thought Mike Sullivan had a great game plan going in, but how about Mike Solari, the offensive line coach? When you look at who's playing for them, who played today? John Jalapio starts at right guard. Then John Greco comes in. Greco has barely even been – I mean, he's been here for what, two weeks? So to get a guy prepared enough – now, Greco's played enough games in the NFL. He's a veteran. But to get this many guys ready to play, Bobby Hart comes back, Wheeler's out. I mean, for Mike Solari, he's still trying to figure out who's even out there right now. He's got to look at the names on the back of the jersey to find out who these guys are sometimes.
Well, I mean, this is unprecedented. I can't remember the last time – I mean, you go to a Giants game, and guys that are playing significant minutes on defense and even on offense, are you don't even know who they are. Like, I mean
– I was around 04.
03.
Well, there was a lot of guys. You would, nobody make a tackle. You'd be like, great job, 45.
Who are you?
Yeah, word on the street is you had somebody crying, too.
I guess the good news is that was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a long time in between. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, the quarterback of the Giants, Eli Manning, is going to speak at the podium, waiting for Eli to step up as we continue with Giants postgame live on the MSG Networks. Welcome back to Giants postgame live here on the MSG Networks. The Cowboys defeat the Giants 30-10 as they break this game open in the fourth quarter. Eli Manning returns to the starting lineup, his 211th start as a New York Giant and playing in his 213th game with Big Blue. Afterwards, he spoke with the media.
You know, I think the team has done a great job of staying together. You know, it'd be easy to complain and to bark at each other and say it's not fair or one side's not doing their part. You know, but we haven't fallen into that trap. We've got some high character guys on this team that are working hard every week, that are playing, that are doing their absolute best to compete. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the effort and the work and the enthusiasm going into each week, feeling we can go win a football game. And again, hey, we played hard today, and right there in the mix against a good team, and we just don't have the just kind of that firepower to finish some of these games.
You expect to eventually a lot together. This is your first game with them as a head coach. Was there any sort of personal conversation you had before today, or going into today, that helped the team a little bit?
With Spags,
yes,
you're saying, just talk this the week, just the flow of things, how he would be different, with Mac not here, just with the 2-minute drive and where McAdoo would maybe call some of the timeouts, he's gonna kind of let me and Sully just handle that. So just talk about this, how we want to play this game, what we're gonna do, and so had some conversations with them, to just make sure we're all on the same page. Yeah, I think that's obviously there's the support I got from former teammates, friends and fans that wrote notes, sent messages. So it did mean a lot. And obviously, with teammates, those guys are about as loyal as they get. And you don't forget that, and it reminds you to always be a great teammate. I feel like I've been a great teammate for 14 years. So during the change, I was going to continue to be a great teammate to all the guys and to Gino and do my part. And, just because it does mean something, and I do take pride in that. And so, but from the fans also, and, I appreciate them. All the nice words they said about me and how much they appreciated different things. It's a great reminder to try to just do the right things, try to be a good person, work hard. And that's what I've been trying to do all these years. I think the goal is always to play hard and prepare. You want to go out there and get a win. That's what it's about. And hey, it's been tough out there, and nothing's been easy. But we've hung in there, and again, we've played teams tough, and it's just a matter of making a couple play. Dallas made a couple big plays at the end. They hit a couple big shots, and we didn't make those plays. We got to find ways in critical moments to make those big plays. Thank you.
All right, so there you have it, Eli Manning. Just talking about the support and everything else he got. You guys know him better than anybody because you guys all played with him. But the last thing he ever wants to be is the center of attention. And for the last 2 weeks, he's been the center of attention. I think overall it was all handled pretty well. But he talked about making those big plays. It's got to be killing him to have to play the way they're playing, which is 4-yard passes, hope someone breaks the tackle without ever the chance of threatening. And then when you do throw it a little bit vertical, again, the Giants lead the NFL in drop pass percentage by like a full percentage point over Oakland. It's a big number, and that was on display again today.
Well, I think Amani could probably speak more to this than anybody, but I've always felt like one of Eli's best attributes is his deep ball. He throws a really good deep ball, really catchable, and to not have the ability to attack – One play over 16 yards today, and that is just kind of what he's saying. And you know, it's tough. You got to play near perfect. You can't have a lot of drops. You can't have all the mistakes. But you know, this offense is just, you know, it's not what you would really want, especially when you have a guy like Eli that can make those big plays. He can really make defenses pay. If you want to bring pressure and you want to try to get cute, Eli's always been able to kind of attack, especially Dallas. I felt like he's always done a good job against their defenses.
Toombs, I mean, you could speak to that.
Yeah, no, the Dallas Cowboys had three big plays like Eli talked about, which resulted in 20 points instead of 21 because they missed a field goal. And the game ended up being 30 to 10, excuse me. That's a 20-point loss. So the three big plays were the difference in the game. And I always thought that, too. Kevin Gilbride's offense really suited Eli because of the fact that Eli does throw the ball well downfield. He's very aggressive with the ball. And the fact that he's one of those quarterbacks that's courageous enough to make those plays and throw the ball deep. And, this dink-and-dunk offense I never really thought suited him.
Yeah, I mean, Antrel, you not only played with him, you played against him. So you've seen it from both perspectives. And this is not the usual Giant offense where you're throwing four-yard passes.
Well, speaking of his deep ball, one of the reasons what made his deep ball so great is that he had receivers that would actually go up and get the ball. You had receivers
that's
that
part
would,
of it.
You had receivers that would catch the ball. And, you know, as a quarterback, it grows your comfort level just that much more. And right now you're just not seeing that. But when it all fails, if you find any other quarterback in this league that has had to deal with the things that he's had to deal with this season, you would hear something out of him. You haven't heard a peep from Eli, man. Like you say, he doesn't like to be the focal point of attention, but he's a warrior. This is a hard season. I don't care how you want to spin it. This is a hard season, not only for Eli, but for the Giants in its entirety. And to have a guy of his caliber and to handle the situation as he has this entire year, I think it speaks volume for Eli Manning.
You can really tell about a person's character, not when they're doing well,
absolutely,
but when things are down. And I think he's handled this situation just like we all expected him to, playing with him and knowing him in a great sense.
You would have heard something out of me.
It's like he said, being a great teammate.
Yeah. Right,
you know,
absolutely.
It sounds easy. It's not always easily portrayed, but there was a shot that the broadcast showed on there, him walking down, shaking hands,
right,
and high-fiving everybody, kind of saying, let's go. Not a lot of words, but just a lot of action.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. Still to come in the program, we're going to hear more from the Giants locker room as we continue with Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Football Giants. Back here on Giants Postgame Live on the MSG Networks, Cowboys beat the Giants 30-10, the final score. A short time ago, Paul Tino spoke with Ross Cockrell in the Coaches Club.
Okay, guys, and Ross, 10-10 game at the end of three quarters, and again in the fourth quarter, as has happened a number of times this year, it kind of fell apart on you. What happened there that you couldn't sustain it for the full four quarters?
Well, this was a tough division opponent, you know, a battle-it-out kind of game. It was a game that we had to make sure we made tackles and create turnovers as a defense. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that. We know turnovers are big. I thought Landon had that interception there in the fourth quarter. That would have been huge. We just know that turnovers really change games drastically, and we weren't able to do that in the fourth quarter.
Third down was another tough down again today. They got a number of conversions and were able to keep you guys on the field a little bit, and I thought that was a big part of it as well.
Well, yeah, the opening drive in the first quarter, that was a long drive. I thought we had a couple chances there. I think they caught a lucky break on the tip ball early in the drive. You know, it was just one of those things where we're looking for a play, and we just couldn't find it today.
It seems as though there were some big plays that there may have been either mental errors or busted coverages or miscommunications. And look, I think what people need to understand is that to play defense in the National Football League is very hard to do. It's very complex, especially Spags loves to use a complex defense. How hard is it when you guys have so many interchangeable new faces that have come off the street even in the last couple of weeks? You know, these things are kind of going to happen, aren't they?
Right. I got to tip my hat out to Demo, number 23, Brandon Dixon, number 25. Those guys that have, like you said, been pulled off the street and put into starting roles. And those are guys who have performed very well for us if you look at the last 2 weeks. Coach Spags does run a very complicated defense, one of the more complicated defenses I've been a part of. And it's one of those things where we know there's a lot of moving parts, interchangeable parts, different personnel groupings. But it's one of those things where you have to execute when you're on the field. And we did that for about 3.5 quarters. And then for whatever reason, we just couldn't make the tackle, couldn't create the turnover that was big, that would have been big for us in the fourth quarter.
All right, so that's Ross Cockrell talking about some of the breakdowns that the Giants had defensively late in this ball game as the Cowboys beat the Giants 30-10. We're going to wrap things up and get some final thoughts from Sean, Antrell, and Amani as we continue with Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz here on the MSG Network. If you missed any part of Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks, it'll replay tonight, Sunday night at 11:30, and then again at 3 a.m., and then Monday, three more airings, twice in the morning, and then at noon. As we welcome you back to Giants Post Game Live here on the MSG Networks and wrapping it up. So, look, I know it sounds repetitive, but the problems aren't going to change. The big problem that the Giants have is they have a Philadelphia team coming in next week that is one of the top offenses in the National Football League. Now, they got a tough game against the Rams on Sunday afternoon. But, what do the Giants do moving forward here, having to deal with the Eagles coming into their building?
Well, it'd be nice if they could score on defense. That would probably help. But I think defensively, you know, they've got to keep playing the way they're playing. Keep playing physical. Keep trying to stop the run. I know it's hard when you're going up against a big explosive offense like the Eagles. That's going to be tough. I think offensively, I want to say open it up, but I don't know what they're going to – I don't know what open it up means right now with this crew. So play keep away. The best way to win is they've got to play keep away. Don't let Carson Wentz have the ball. If you got to run the ball 60 times, do it.
Hey, let me ask you this, Antrell, because one of the things that they do not do really is force turnovers, and especially now with Jackrabbit out, who had two pick sixes this year. What can they – how can they create some opportunities? Because maybe a short field, a scoop and score, something. They need things out of the ordinary to have a chance to win.
That's a tough call to make. Pressure creates turnovers. Uncertainty creates turnovers. And as you heard Cockrell's talking, he's saying that Spag's system is one of the most complicated systems he's been around. So I think for this team, the best thing right now to do is for them to simplify the defense. Let them go out there, play eager, play fast, and let everyone be on the same page at the same time, and let's just hope for the best. Compete. Compete at all costs, no down and, distance.
And they
situations.
Did. I mean, they competed today, right? I mean, all you guys feel
they did.
That
they did compete.
Yeah. It's 10-10 in the fourth quarter. Yeah. They just don't have enough horses.
Have to eliminate the big plays, which we know the Eagles are known for.
Yeah, that's
make
gonna
it
be
ugly.
Tough. That's going to be tough to slow down the Eagles in the big plays, especially with Carson Wentz. He is a problem. This pass rush is going to have to come alive for them to even have any semblance of an opportunity. Their running game has to come. You're going to have to run against that defensive front with Fletcher Cox, which is going to be tough. It's an uphill battle, but hopefully they overlook us.
And they're not going to do that. But Toombs, I mean, Ingram, Shepard, Lewis, if King's back in there, whoever's in there, got to catch
the ball.
Balls. Right?
Catch the rock.
Catch the balls and catch maybe a couple that they didn't expect to catch. And that'll change the momentum of the entire offense.
Going back to week three, Sterling Shepard had a big game. You know, he had that big catch. Yeah. He's got to be the guy in the slot that's really got to show up. But when you look at the Eagles, their offense, Carson Wentz, Spags got a tough time against the blitz. Carson Wentz leads the NFL in touchdown pass against the blitz.
All right, we are out of time. We're going to get a chance to do it again. The Giants play the Eagles here at MetLife Stadium next Sunday at 1. For Sean, Antrell, Amani, this is Bob Papa. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition of Giants Post Game Live presented by Mercedes-Benz and the MSG Networks.